bless the community. I want us to learn how to be a blessing in our homes and in the communities we live in. And so we're going to do a series on this. And today, Easter Sunday, the great verse, it's printed in your notes, Philippians 3:10. Let's read this together. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Paul says this about the resurrection. I want to know it. I want to experience it in my heart. I don't want to just have a head knowledge. I want to know what it's really like. He says, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. You know, that's what God wants for all of us. He wants us to know his power. And so part of knowing his power is this. He wants you to be a light in your home and in your community. So the title of the message today is this, Let Your Light Shine. I want to talk today about how you and I can become a shining light wherever we go. Now I'm going to give you a definition of the word shine. You can interpret it different ways, but it's in your notes. Here it is. The word shine means to beam. Think of a flashlight when it's very dark at night. It also means to radiate brightness. It also means that you give off some kind of light. There's a sense of glow about your life. And so my big question this morning as we think about letting your light shine, how is your glow factor? 1 is low, 10 is high. We're talking about a glow factor for the kingdom, Jesus living in you. Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want a high glow factor. And so today as we think about letting your light shine and being a radiant witness and letting Jesus live through us, what does that mean? And so I want to share 4 thoughts in the outline. It's on the sermon listening guide of how do we live a life that shines? You know, the world is looking for people whose lives aren't perfect, but who have something unique and different. And it's Christ in them, and there's a radiance to it. People that have Christ in their life, and they're walking with him, there's something magnetic and attractive about that individual. We need to be like that as well. Paul says, I want to know it. I don't want to go through life just kind of living life. I want to experience the fullness of the resurrection power released in my life so I can have a high glow factor wherever I go. So 4 thoughts about how to live a life that shines. Let's get started. 1 in your notes. The first thing is that we need to understand that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Read with me the first paragraph in your notes. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Here's what John says. When Jesus showed up, when God became flesh, when he was born into the world, we call it Christmas, we celebrate that, a light showed up, which was the exact representation of who God was, and he is. So we find that Jesus is referred to as the light. Read with me the next verse, John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Notice with me, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He knew who he was. You and I have to know who we are in him. And he says, I am the light of the world. And here's the big promise. Whoever follows me, whoever has a heart for the kingdom, listen, they will never walk in darkness. I want to show you a picture that communicates just by looking at it. When Jesus came into the world, he came to bring light to each of our lives. I mean, that's who he is. We can look in the media, we can look for entertainment, we can look in many different places, but let me tell you, the true light is who he is because he came from the Father. I read a story by James Dobson, and he talked about a young man who was a recreational pilot. And on one occasion, he was up in his single-engine aircraft, and he took off probably in the afternoon. He started flying around and went over the mountain. And here's what happened. He waited too long to turn back, and it began to get dark. And as he came back across the mountain, he could not see the runway to land in. It was too dark. Panic began to set in. He knew that possibly in a couple hours, the plane would run out of fuel and he would probably crash because he couldn't see where to land the plane. But a miracle happened. There was a guy on the ground that figured out why this plane was just kind of continuing to fly around. And here's what the guy did. He took his car and he began to shine his lights on where the airstrip runway was. And he flashed his lights. He got to the end of the runway, and the pilot knew where to land the plane safely, and that's what he did. You see, he wouldn't have made it without the lights of the guy in the car. You may feel like your life is in darkness today. You're trying to figure life out. And maybe it's a dark season, but let me tell you, Jesus is the light of the world, and he says he'll provide light to any person who's trying to figure life out. And you use his headlights to help you land the plane, your life, or whatever your circumstance is going forward. So number one, understand that Jesus himself is the source of all lights. Number two, the second great truth about living a life that shines is this. We must receive Jesus into your life to become a light in your world. In other words, there's a relationship at stake here. And in John 1:15, it's in your notes. Let's read this together. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Circle the word received. You see, in order for your life and my life to have a glow factor of any kind, we have to receive the true source of light, which is Jesus himself. And John says, to any and all who received him into their life, they invited Jesus into their life. They're born again. They have a personal heart experience with him. Wow. That's where the glow factor begins to take off. On the backside, Matthew 5:13, let's read that together. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives life to everyone in the house. Jesus said, your life is a light as well. He says, you are the light of the world. I mean, he came in and said, I am the true life. I'm the source. But if we receive him into our life, here's what happens. We become a light in our homes and in our offices or wherever we go. He says, you are a light to the world. Here's a quote. I think it's a good one. It says, we are indeed the light of the world, but only if our switch is turned on. Isn't that good? Hey, have you got the switch turned on? Then you got a glow factor going in your life. I read an article about a lady who was blind for about 50 years. And Her name was Rose Crawford, and she heard about a doctor in Ontario that could do a surgery to help her eyesight. And so she went to this doctor, and he did this surgery, and she could see. They took the bandages off, and it says, she says, "I can't believe it." She saw the dazzling beauty of the world for the first time. But here's the deeper part of the story. For these decades, she lived without sight. But the surgery to correct the problem had been available 20 years earlier. 20 years. She just didn't know about it. You see, all of us journey through life, and we got to figure life out. And Jesus is the true light. And when we understand that, listen, it's available to us all. And the sooner we learn that, the better. So that we can get our sight and see things in a whole new way. So number one, Jesus is the true light, the source for the world. Number two, we have to receive him into our life so that we can become a light in our world. Number three, the third truth about living a life that shines is this: we must feed on his word daily. We must feed on his word daily. Read with me the first verse in your notes. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, flashlights are an amazing thing. You don't need them during the daylight, but you do need them at night. And it says that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to my path. If you and I are in a dark place in life, you know what's going to light up the pathway? Getting his word inside us, and it will illuminate the next step or the decision we should make. Read with me the next verse. The unfolding of your words give light. It imparts understanding to the simple. So for you and me, the word of God must be somehow entered into our soul, or we must continue to expose ourselves to it, and it will illuminate the next step. Here's a quote I want to share with you. Christ is the light of the world. It's through him alone that true wisdom is imparted to the mind. In other words, the word of God, when we get it inside us, it somehow illuminates, it somehow radiates, and it shows the pathway to our next step. I read about a girl who grew up in a tenement in London, England. It was a rundown place. They were very poverty-stricken. And she had an old cracked teapot. And she put some seeds in it, and she grew a plant. And her surroundings were terrible, this tenement, this rundown place. And here's what happened. She entered her flower with the cracked teapot into a contest. And she ended up winning first prize. And they ask her, the little girl, how is it that you made this plant so beautiful? I mean, what did you do to it? And here's what she said. She kept moving it around the house so that it would always be in the sunlight. She kept moving it around so that it would always be in the sunlight. You see, your life and mine, we've got to always live in the sunlight from his word. And when we do that, amazing things happen. The glow factor in our life, the sense of radiance, the sense of who we are, just somehow touches us and other people. So number one, Jesus is the source, the light of the world. Number two, you and I have to receive him to get the glow factor going in our life. Number three, we need to feed on his word daily. I mean, we got to just soak our hearts and our minds and let it enter deep into our souls. And finally, number four. The fourth way that we live a life that shines is this. We must allow the presence of God to shine through us. Allow his presence to shine through us. Read these verses from Philippians together with me in the notes. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. You want to shine in your home? Be careful about the complaining and the grumbling. Of course, that would not happen to anybody here, I'm sure. The point is this, we can live a life that shines even in the home. I want to give you two practical ways of how you can increase the glow factor in your life. Two, they're very simple. Letter A, the first one is this. The words we speak. The words we speak. Let's read Ephesians 4:29 in your notes. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to his needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You wanna radiate good stuff, good energy in your home? Filter the words that you speak. I read an article about Karen Carpenter. Many of you, some of you will remember her, others may not. She and her brother, Richard, sang back in the 80s. She died of a heart attack, and it was primarily from anorexia. But they did a special, CBS did a special on her life, I think it was in 1983. And they tried to piece back what got her on this trail of anorexia. And there were different factors, but they found this out. Somebody had once referred to Karen Carpenter as Richard's chubby sister. Richard's chubby sister. It's three words. And somehow that hit her soul. I think there were other issues that were at work within her, but I tell you, it was just a simple comment. And it may have been part of the reason, one comment, that she began a spiral downward, and she eventually died because her heart gave out. Let me tell you, the words you speak are so important in the home. Parents to kids, grandparents, kids to your siblings, the words that come out of her mouth. Be careful. Paul says only speak what's going to build somebody up. You know what's going to happen when you do that? Your life's going to shine. Not only that, you're going to lift somebody else up. All because you say, hey, I've got to be better, and God can use me if I allow him to filter the words that come out of my mouth. Here's a quote. I'm going to have Jonica put it up. All right, go back one more, Jonica. The words you can speak can take someone down or lift them up. Choose them wisely. Isn't that true? I mean, we've all spoken down to people. We wish we wouldn't. But the words can also lift people up. And when you do that with the people you love and around you, let me tell you, you're allowing God to just flow through your life. And here's the other one. Strong people don't put others down. They lift them up. That's from an aunt, right? I mean, isn't that great? But the point is this. Be careful. Be guarded of what comes out of your mouth. Build people up. Make it a mission of your life to be the best world encourager you can to everybody you meet, starting in your home, the people you live with, the people you love, and then the bigger circle of your friends and the people you work with. Be a builder up of people. Let me tell you, God will just flow through you with radiance when you do that. Okay, second one is this. The second way that we do this is the deeds we do. Deeds. Read with me the verse in Matthew. It's in your notes. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know, I thought about the different ways the church family demonstrates deeds, good deeds, to other people. Let me give you some examples. Maybe it's giving somebody a ride to church, or you take them to the doctor. Maybe it's helping somebody move that can't move themselves. Maybe it's taking food to somebody. Maybe it's visiting a hospital or a nursing home. How about you're sewing for something and for someone in Jane in that ministry of Days for Girls? I mean, you use your skills and abilities to do deeds for good people. Here's a couple of quotes I want to show you. A good deed brightens a dark world. I got a challenge for everybody here. Do a good deed for somebody today. Just something small. Maybe you just want to speak encouragement or compliment them. But do a good deed. It'll brighten their day. And here's the other one. Let your good deeds be like rain. Drop a little everywhere. You radiate the presence of Christ when you drop a little good deed everywhere you go. And the glow factor goes up in your life, and it will touch other people in a positive way. So let me just review here. Number one, Jesus is the true light of the world. That's what he brings to us. Number two, you got to receive him into your life to become a light in your world. Number three, you got to feed on his word daily. The girl with the potted plant, how did she get it to grow? She said she moved it around so it was always in the sunlight. Number four, allow the presence of God just to shine through you, to shine like stars. The words you speak and the deeds you do in your life will glow, and you'll have a life of influence on other people. Here's our final verse. We're going to read it again. It's on the screen. Let's read it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God wants your light to shine. And so as I close, I'm going to pray, and I want to ask you a question. How's your glow factor? And the big question is, have you received Jesus into your life so you got the glow started? That's the big thing. Or maybe you're at a place where you need to just recommit your life and say, God, I need to get back at it. Or maybe you're here today and you're just walking with him and you're doing the best you can. That's awesome. I'm going to lead us in prayer. And it's a simple prayer, giving everyone here an opportunity to invite Christ into your life or to recommit your life to him so that your life can be a light in the world you live in wherever you go. Let's bow together for prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to just lead us in a simple prayer, and you can pray it silently after me. Father in heaven, thank you for Easter Sunday morning. Thank you for your amazing love for me and the power that's available because of Jesus' death and resurrection. I confess I need you today. Forgive me of trying to live life apart from you. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again the third day. And he's alive forevermore. I open the door of my heart and I invite Jesus Christ into my life. Or I recommit my life to him. I ask him to be my Savior. I ask him to be my Lord from this moment forward. Take my life and may it radiate, may it glow, may it beam who you are to a dark world. I just surrender my life to you. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer just to either commit or recommit your life to Christ, would you put your hand up and put it down? Anybody? Oh, a lot of people. Thank you. Father, I just pray you'll make us lights in our world that we live. And may our lives today make a difference this week in somebody else's life. That everywhere we go, we will build people up. And we will plant good deeds into people's lives like raindrops in the ground. And Father, we just want to honor and glorify you. And we thank you for the gift of heaven itself. In Jesus' name, amen.